Joining us to discuss, I am very excited to say, is Samson Ellis, Bloomberg Taipei Bureau Chief, with me here in the Singapore studio. I think it's been many years, Sam, since I've seen you. Pandemic, obviously, one of those key reasons. Great to have you with us to talk through this story because, I mean, there was so much, I guess, drama about Nancy Pelosi going. Why is this kind of being kept under the radar?
Well, that's a very good question. I mean, to be perfectly honest, these types of trips happen all the time. Like, we're looking at the data right now. And, you know, there are at least, you know, usually in a typical year, there are up to 20, maybe even a few more U.S. lawmakers who do visit Taiwan. So these trips are happening all the time, but they are typically happening slightly under the radar. There's not a whole, amount of fanfare around them. And there's often not, you know, usually there isn't quite the reaction from the Chinese side that we've seen to after Speaker Pelosi's trip 10 days ago. So, you know, it's pretty par for the course that you get these visits happening all the time. But obviously the reason we're looking at this more closely, the reason we care about this, the reason we're talking about this right now is it comes so soon after Pelosi's trip and, you know, the massive reaction we saw from the Chinese side.
Yeah, and on that reaction, I mean, one of the things she mentioned was the men didn't get this kind of reaction. Is that fair? Because honestly, we're not talking about this visit in the same sense that we were. And that also has got to do with her role too. She is a higher ranking official.
She did raise that issue, and isn't it a very interesting point from her? You know, does it have anything to do with the fact she's a woman? Very difficult to say, as you say, because she is also, you know, a much higher ranking U.S. figure than, you know, any men that have come before. So difficult to say, but, you know, you can't rule out that possibility.
Let's talk as well about, I guess, what we're seeing with some of the other moves, because Taiwan detected 22 PLA warplanes and 6 warships around the island's surrounding region. This is up until 5 p.m. Sunday, according to a tweet from the Ministry of National Defense. So certainly China here is still trying to stand its ground, right?
They are. And that's one of the trends we're noticing now following Pelosi's trip, you know, in the days preceding her or following her trip, we saw these massive military exercises completely surrounding Taiwan. And then that seems to have settled down now into, you know, what people are calling a new normal, where there are, you know, many more Chinese patrols around Taiwan, many more Chinese encroachments into Taiwan's air defense identification zone, and PLA aircraft no longer respecting the median line of the Taiwan Strait, which for decades previous had kind of stood as an informal, tacit barrier between the two sides.
Sam, you've just come from Taiwan to Singapore. I mean, when we spoke to you a couple of weeks ago, you were saying on the ground, look, people are not really that focused on this, but very much we are in the global community talking about what's happening with US-China relations and the impact to Taiwan here. What is it like from people in Taiwan? If you've got these 22 PLA warplanes circling around, are people worried or are they getting about their daily business?
No, again, it barely registers in Taipei. You know, people will freely tell you, we're used to this. This happens all the time. We've had this threat hanging over our heads for the past 70 years. You know, we'll start worrying when the missiles start falling, and so far they haven't. People in Taiwan are very resilient, but then also, you know, have become pretty much inured to this, these constant threats. And I think they also recognize that, you know, a full-out war, it would be disastrous for Taiwan. It would also be disastrous for China, right? China does not want a war at this point. You know, it would be, China has its own issues. You know, if you look at, economic growth, slowing economic growth there, the constant COVID lockdowns. Xi Jinping is obviously laser focused on the Party Congress at the later this year when he, you know, is pushing to secure a third term. A full-out war with Taiwan, in which you could pretty much assume the United States would intervene as well. And then there's obviously the possibility that the Japanese would intervene, and then other allies in the region, possibly the Australians too, would get involved. You know, that would be utterly disastrous for everyone, but also obviously for Beijing.
And just very quickly, let's... the managing fund flows that we're seeing in some of these markets, because these troubles in Taiwan, you're still seeing Chinese stocks at a wide discount to global peers. What are you seeing in terms of, say, like the Taiwan dollar?
Well, assets in Taiwan have been remarkably resilient, to be honest. Again, you know, there was this assumption that, oh, this would be bad for Taiwan, that you'll see massive equity outflows, which would, of course, have a knock-on effect on the Taiwan dollar. But we, other than a little bit of volatility the week when Pelosi was here, we absolutely haven't seen that. But part of that is the government has intervened. You know, the government has various funds that it can use to shore up both equities and the Taiwan dollar. But I think, you know, all of these moves were flagged well in advance by China.
So it didn't take anyone by surprise. Samson Ellis, Bloomberg Taipei Bureau Chief, with us in Singapore. This is Bloomberg.